Let's pray. Loving God, we need you every hour, and no day should go by that we should not hear a word from you, a word that's clear and one that will transform us into the children you know we can be. So as the scriptures are read and as I attempt to proclaim them, may your spirit shine the light of your love on it so that our prayer might be answered. In the name of Christ we pray, amen. Our scripture this morning comes from 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, the 15th and 16th verses. Hear now the word of God. I speak to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. Well, we're now on Sermon 5. You would think Lent's going to last for 100 years. Sermon 5 of the series entitled, Can You Drink the Cup? Based on Henry Nouwen's book by the same title. We started on Ash Wednesday looking at the question, the actual question. Can you drink the cup? This question is a question that Jesus asked James and John, and I assume his mother. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. Jesus is going. He's already told the disciples, I'm going to Jerusalem and I'm going to be killed. Now, for some reason, they don't hear that really well. They think he's going to Jerusalem and his kingdom is going to come in and it's going to be a military kingdom and Jesus is going to be the king, the Lord of the kingdom. And so, James and John's mother says, can my boys, one sit on the left and one on the right, when you come into your kingdom? And Jesus asks, can they drink this cup? Can you drink this cup? And from that moment on, as you read the Gospels and in Matthew, you keep hearing this story. You hear these words about a cup, and we see the cup, even in the garden where Jesus says, Father, take this cup away from me, but not my will, but thy will be done. Can you drink this cup? It's a different kind of cup. So that was the question. And then that first Sunday in Lent, we looked at holding the cup and considering the cup itself. And then we moved to the cup is a cup of sorrow and a cup of joy. All of life is in the cup. Then we looked at lifting the cup and what that means, a blessing. That's what we do when we have a toast. It's a blessing. And so today we will be looking at the cup of blessing to life. How many of y'all like people to know all the good things that happened to you, but don't want any of the bad things to be known? That's me. I'm with you, Ralph. I'm with you. I don't really want people to know all the problems. Nobody wants to know the problems I have, I hope. Well, you might. I don't know. But I do love Christmas letters. Y'all like Christmas letters from families? They are really great. It's amazing that that many people don't have any problems. But anyway, June and I got this one. It's really a joke, but it sounded better if I say it. June and I got this one for Christmas last year. It says, Dear June and Charles, it is time again to share with you our adventures on this journey of life. 2022 has been another year of magic and wonder. Lori is almost 3. She's quite a talker. She continues to amaze the professors at the University of Georgia with her intuition in foreign languages. It was fun for her to serve as an official translator at the peace talks in Afghanistan. And now she intends to spend her holiday transcribing War and Peace into Arabic and Cantonese. Chris, now 5, is growing by leaps and bounds. And when he got his first Lego set, he seemed quite interested in large buildings. And this year, he designed his first skyscraper. And ground was broken in Hong Kong for his first tower. It's great having a budding architect in home, as he made a new addition to the house and a wonderful gazebo in the garden. Now, Martha Stewart is going to be filming her next show there in April. Betsy had a very busy year. In between her work as president of the American Cancer Society, the senior partner of Goldman Sachs, she introduced a line of children's novels and handmade activewear. She remains occupied with the children and has introduced them to yoga and power walking this year. Now, Dave was immersed in his graduate school and studies and managed to co-author a paper on multidimensional customer attribute analysis by conjoint survey, and accepted the Nobel Peace Prize for his work in quantum physics. Along the way, Dave took three startup companies all the way to their IPO, and we're proud of his work serving on the board of IBM, Coca-Cola, and Walt Disney. Dad was also active in teaching the kids ballet and helping Chris lower his handicap to 5. We were able to squeeze in a little travel this past year. We went to Aspen and then Belarus and Congo and Denmark and Ethiopia, Falklands, Greenland, Holland, Italy. Well, you get the picture. Our trip sailing our new boat around the world was a great experience for the kids. We learned to communicate with dolphins and discovered a new deep water region of new deep water volcanoes. And Sergeant, our German Shepherd, learned Latin. Other than that, it was a quiet year. So from our household to yours, Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Now, don't you feel kind of inadequate? Don't you feel like their life is so perfect? If you were that person, all I can say is, now that was 2022. Be careful, because 2023 is coming. 2024 is coming. It doesn't matter how good of life that you have, we're all going to face sorrow. Eventually, we all face sorrow. We always face troubles. And for us to think otherwise or to say otherwise, we become somewhat of a hypocrite, don't we? You see, we got to embrace and hold the cups, the cup of sorrow and the cup of joy, because they're important as we lift them up. I was watching a video yesterday that my son-in-law, Jason, posted on Facebook. That's how I do most of my research, is watching YouTube videos and videos on Facebook. But this video, I don't know the preacher's name, but he talked about it. He said that he had heard of people, we've all heard people say, I don't want to go to that church. It's nothing but a bunch of hypocrites. Y'all heard that? Of course there are. They're people. We're all hypocrites. We've all said something and did something different, didn't we? Haven't we? And I always think, well, one more hypocrite's not going to change as much. But this preacher was talking, and he said, that sounds pretty plain, sometimes sounds smart. It's just it's an observation that's true. There's nothing but hypocrites in a church. But that's who's supposed to be in church. And then he likened it. He said he went to the fitness center, a gym. He went there, and there were people in there who were fit. There were muscular people. There were people who could do hundreds and hundreds of sit-ups and squats and pull-ups and lift hundreds and hundreds of pounds, hundreds and hundreds of times. It was unbelievable how fit everybody was, because they are in the business of fitness. And if you go to a fitness place, you need to be fit. And then he looked over there and he saw somebody who was overweight and they jiggled. Can you imagine a fitness place letting somebody who is not fit to be in there? Isn't that who's supposed to be in a fitness place? Wilmer's a trainer now. Wilmer does that personal training. I'm guessing he wants people to be unfit when they come to see you, right? Isn't that who we should have in our churches? If we're going to be the people we're supposed to be, there need to be unfit people here.
There need to be hypocrites here. But in the same room with people who say one thing and do another, there can be and there are people who have walked with Jesus for years, have been in a growing relationship with the Lord for years. But we're supposed to be together. There could be people in here who are trying to figure out life. That should be all of us. There are some people who have a hole in their heart and they're trying to figure out how to fill it. Somebody might have just been invited by their neighbor who for some reason keeps inviting them to Kingswood. Every time they see them, they invite them to Kingswood and they're here. They're looking for somebody to talk to. They're looking for friends. They're looking for companions, people to be friends with their children. We don't know the reasons, all the reasons. But maybe they're hoping for their faith to grow. There are people who are discovering the Bible. All of us are in a different place, and we have both joys and sorrows in our life. We're all growing. And no matter how sanctified we are, we have been in the same place where the people are who are just walking in the door. And people like us who have been with Jesus a long time and walked with him, we have to remember that we have not always been the way we are. We used to not be saved. The problem with us sinners, us Christians, sometimes we forget that we used to start and stop. We would have sputters. We'd have breakdowns. We might stop going to church. We might do a lot of things. How many of you have ever started reading their Bible because you're going to make a change in your life and you said, I'm going to read the Bible every day? Now, put your hand down if you didn't die in Numbers. You quit reading the Bible when you got to Numbers. How many have joined me and stopped reading the Bible in Numbers? Right. So we can't look down on people who haven't started reading the Bible. We didn't read it the first time we said we were going to read it. The danger for us who have been in Christ for a long time is to think we've arrived and we never have not been there. Sometimes when you're close to Jesus, or you think you're close to Jesus, we end up with hard hearts. And all we want to think about is, I don't know why they act that way. They need to act better. And see, the problem we have is, if we're like the Joneses, or not those Joneses, but the people who wrote the letter to the family who's never had a bad day, if you think that's your life, you're leaving something out. If you don't include the sorrow, it's tough. It's hard. Because we have to include everything that's in our cup and in our life. It's so important that we do that because that's how we sharpen one another. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. It needs the coarse stuff. It needs the fine stuff. It needs it all to get us sharp. And if we're going to help someone or be helped, we need to make sure that we bring all the tools with us that need to be used. And it's our failures and it's our victories. It's our sorrows and our joys. That's what it takes. It takes all of us. Nowen tells a story about a man named Trevor. When he was, Nowen was at the L'Arche Daybreak outside Toronto, the facility for handicapped mental, physical, psychological, all types of people with problems. And if you looked at them, you could think their cup was filled with nothing but sorrow. Unfulfilled dreams. Never knew they could have had a dream. Just unbelievable sorrow. He made a friend with one of these clients. His name was Trevor. And along the way, and Trevor had to go to another facility for some kind of help. And he was there for 2 or 3 months. Now I wanted to go see him, and he called the facility and spoke to a chaplain. And he said, I'd love to come see Trevor and have lunch with him. And the guy said, you want to come to our place? Is it okay if I get some other chaplains and some staff and some friends, and we'll have dinner together, lunch together, and all this, and you can talk to them and that sort of thing? He said, yeah, I'll do that. So now he shows up, and the guy greets him, and he says, we're so glad you're here. We've got a number of people here who want to see you and see you during lunch. And he said, well, where's Trevor? He said, well, Trevor is where all the other clients are. You'll have plenty of time to talk with Trevor. And he said, well, Trevor is not going to have lunch with us? That's the reason I came. He said, no, we don't allow clients or patients to eat with the staff. And we're in the golden room. In the golden room, there's never been a client go in that room. And now it says, if I can't have lunch with Trevor in the golden room, I'm not eating in the golden room. So my guess is there was a little sweat falling off of somebody. There was a little anxiety. And somehow or another, they said, yes, Trevor can eat in the golden room. And now he goes and finds Trevor. He is collecting flowers in the garden. He's having fun. That's what he loved to do. And so he takes him in there. And they are talking. And then somebody has a prayer. People start sitting down at a variety of tables. And these people don't know each other, really. They just know that they were invited to come hear Henry Nouwen speak. And Nouwen and Trevor are talking. And he said, I'd like a Coke. And they go get a Coke. And they're sitting down, and all of a sudden, out of the clear blue sky, Trevor stands up. And everybody else is sitting. And they can see him. And they say, I don't know what's getting ready to happen, but this is going to be interesting. Here's somebody who is different, who's not ever been allowed to be in the golden room, and he's getting ready to speak. This looks like something that could be bad. Somebody is going to be embarrassed. Everybody's got that feel. You know what I'm talking about. And Trevor, when he's standing, he says, may I have your attention? And he got everybody's attention. And he said, raise your glass. I want to make a toast. If you're happy and you know it, lift your glass. If you're happy and you know it, lift your glass. If you're happy and you know it, and you really want to show it, if you're happy and you know it. Oh, good. Y'all joined in like they did. When he started singing, all these people who had this anxiety about what was going to happen, the anxiety fell off their faces. They started smiling. They started singing. They even started standing up and singing with him. And the person who was the meekest in the room did what no one else in the room could be. He became Christ-like. And tables with strangers became table of community. The meek will inherit the earth. You see, for us, we have to put forth our frailties, our failures, our hurts, our sorrows, our joys, all of it together to touch the lives of other people. I love that song, Reckless Love, because that's what Jesus does. God loves us so much, He is willing to risk everything, including His life, for you and me. And if we're going to be His followers, we got to be willing to risk embarrassment, sorrows, joys, whatever it takes to make someone else feel and know that they are loved in the hurting places of their life. It's in the midst of lifting this cup of sorrow and joy and blessing them And that cup turns into a cup of blessing. That's important. How do we do that? How do we do that in our lives? It's important that we do it. You see, because in the body of Christ, we like to celebrate everything. Because in celebration, we embrace the pain and the sorrow and the joys. Do you know we celebrate beginnings? We do. Everybody who this is the first time you come, we celebrate you because we want to give you a present. And if you're a guest here today and it's your first time here, make sure you get one of those bags out there. They have some of the world's greatest, best, most delicious chocolate chip cookies you'll ever eat. They are delicious. We are celebrating you. We celebrate you when you come. We will celebrate you if you leave. We celebrate when members move away. We celebrate. We celebrate births. We celebrate deaths. We celebrate commitments. We celebrate recommitments. Whether it's someone coming to be confirmed or baptized, we celebrate that. If somebody wants to come and recommit themselves to Christ and reaffirm their baptism, we'll do that. Couple wants to be married, we will marry them. We celebrate. A celebration is occasion to lift up each other's lives, whether joyful or sorrowful. To raise a cup. To celebrate life is to raise life and to make it visible to each other and affirm the concreteness of it and be grateful for it. You see, we got to be grateful for the bad things that happen in us. That sounds strange, doesn't it? Because the bad things that happen to you shape who you will be in the future. We need to be grateful for those things. Because gratitude will change hatred into something else. It will change resentment and jealousy and all those things that might have happened to you in the past. Gratitude will change it so that we can talk about who we're going to be and who we are because of that in the future. Sharing who we are can change lives, other people's lives. Back before we had COVID on Wednesday nights, we were doing some once upon a time stories where people who've been members of the church, who are members of the church, they told their life story. We took pictures, scanned them in, and you'd be surprised what some of these people looked like when they were young. All of us look different than we do today. But you were able to hear their story. And even today, when I look at the people who did them, I am so grateful for their life because I've seen the things they've endured and the people they became in spite of and because of. And it's a beautiful thing. Because when we know each other that kind of way, when someone is in trouble, all we got to do is sit down and we can be a quiet presence in their life. You don't have to say a word because they know you and they know your heart and you know your desire for them or their desire for you. The number of times I've had people in this church talk about who's gone through something, what a certain member has meant to them in their life. When I went through this, you would not believe what this person did just by being a presence in my life. You see, when we're willing to do that and to risk, we can be transformed into the people that God wants us to be. And when we do those things, there'll be a whole lot less hypocrites here with us. And when we write that Christmas letter, it'll be truthful. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you that you were willing to drink the cup, that you would lift the cup, that you would share the cup. Lord, may we be willing to love like that. Not just today, but every day. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.